destructive things, but I mean things that stop this war machine. So here's a little kind of a little tape of what actually was happening in San Francisco when a group of the Breakaway March on Sunday did its thing in, I guess, trying to stop the war machine.
Okay, it's about 5:25, and I'm still here at the San Francisco February 16th Market Street police blockage of the alternate march, and I'm kind of circling around the crowd that's on the outside of the police blockade. The inside of the police blockade is blockading the marchers, and it stretches across Market Street, as do the marchers across Market Street. Moving over to the south side of Market so I can actually see the protest. And here, of course, there are newspaper boxes to stand on. One can see the horses, police officers on her again.
Riot gear coming up behind us.
And riot gear is coming up from the other side of Market Street, according to one woman who just passed me. That's a fine t-shirt you have there. Thank you. And take a look and see what the view is from up there. I'm going to try to circle around here. So apparently there's kind of a bunch of people are moving on the south side of the sidewalk. It's not clear whether people are being released. That could be what's happening. There seems to be a kind of a cheer of victory. So what's happened up there? You can see.
They're letting them go through this little gate thing.
They're letting them go through on the south side on the sidewalk. So the protesters are being released on the south side. Are there a few resisting? Now don't you fall down. And they're talking to a man who is perched precariously here on the BART station. He falls the wrong way. He'll fall about 25 feet down the stairs, as will I if I tumble backwards. So, you can see squad car lights in the distance on the other side of Market around 9th. And a large crowd here. I guess the alternate marchers are coming through. There are some firecrackers being thrown, and some people are applauding the firecrackers, though. People on horses don't like it, and some people... Don't run! Walk! Don't run! Walk! Walk! Hey, Bob. And there are police in riot gear, and now they are beginning to whack protesters. One particularly. You get pictures, Becky? You got to give me a camera. Give me a camera. Policeman on horseback is demanding people move with his truncheon out. Seems to be jeopardizing a person who is sitting at the bar. People are beginning to walk down Market away from the line of police officers. And again, the police, it's about four or five, six or seven police officers who are on horseback now in the center of Market at 8th, yes, and suddenly the first Chronicle rack I've seen overturned here. Many people with video cameras, numerous people with bandanas on, and the officer on horseback, what? I don't think there is a camera. Here, go ahead. And still the riot squad line stands across the street, now deserted by the crowd, as you just moved on to Market Street, and now we're heading, it looks up 8th. And more police officers have moved out, or are marching in formation up Market Street toward the Orpheum Theater. And here comes the riot squad, folks, coming up Market Street. I'm not quite sure why they're standing there in that line. I mean, they're not really, they're standing now across Burger King across the street to this, the south side of Market. And it's not clear to me what their purpose is, except perhaps to, I don't know, intimidate, not sure. Many squad cars parked on the other side. Police have blocked off 8th, and the riot police are approaching and moving people. And they're moving people along here.
We're not going to be able to stay here.
We turn the corner here, and here we can, of course, I'm now on 8th Street, and I've jumped from my high perch where I was taking photos in the dim light. Now the riot police has cleared a section of Market, but why? There was nobody there doing anything worth clearing. You look like a menace with your dog, ma'am. What's your name?
Pamela.
And what kind of mischievous activity have you two been up to?
We've been marching and protesting and listening to the protests.
Don't you know that you don't supposed to do this here?
Apparently not.
All right, then. Well, you've learned your lesson.
Definitely.
Thank you. So, it looks like the police are just, I guess, sort of standing about, perhaps waiting for people to kind of get discouraged and leave, and also they've blocked ordinary traffic through on Market Street, both vehicular and pedestrian, so it's hard to... Even the yellow trolley bus has stopped, it's been pointed out. I'm going to cross over here to the other side of 8th Avenue, heading up Market, see what's happening. And... So, hey, numerous Santa Cruz types are hanging out here, I notice. Again, now on this side of Market, there are, it's just a virtual police vehicle parking lot. Hey, Ray.
They got great pictures of a cop.
So we're talking to Ray. Ray, you say you were hit by a police officer?
Yeah, I was hit by a police officer on horseback with a ninja stick. Right over there, right down the street.
Name of the police officer?
I got him on film. I'll show it to you.
Okay. And did you provoke this? Were you assaulting the poor officer?
Oh, well, yeah, he saw my peace sign and my camera, just like this, my peace sign and my camera.
That's pretty, a tourist act there.
Is that un-American or what? See you back in Santa Cruz.
All right, thank you, Ray. And then somebody's put a placard on the windshield. Oh, someone is breaking up the window of a squad car, kicking out the window with his foot. I won't identify that person at this time, but there is, that squad car 1050 has had the window smashed out. Sorry, you're under arrest for taking photos. It's all going to be okay later when we incarcerate your family. We're here at the BART station area. Kind of, it's getting colder. Cooler, anyway. Any commentary, sir, on what's been going on up here?
Well, it's fucking ridiculous. That's the only commentary that's necessary.
And this person I'm interviewing is a person who actually smashed out the window of a squad car with his foot.
Thousands of subservient people out here just sitting complacently as the police take over and destroy things and beat people up, oppressing horses and people alike. It's fucking ridiculous. It needs to stop.
Thank you. How long have you been with the alternate march today?
Today? I got up at about 2:30. As far as my lifetime, 14 years.
Ah. Well, do you have any moniker you wish to tell us?
Not particularly.
Okay. Any commentary on how the police have been behaving today in the last 2 hours?
It's fairly obvious they've been behaving like police. Like the fascist regime that they seem to be.
Any specifics for us?
Well, some people were trying to get out, go on with their lives. People who weren't, you know, in the mood to get arrested or stand in solidarity, perhaps. Yeah, which I can respect. They're wanting to protect themselves. They tried to get out, and the police used force on them as they tried to free themselves from what was going on behind the police line. People tried to get in and join and support their friends. The police were hitting them with sticks and whatnot. The police are pulling on the chains of the horses to make the horses rear up and kick at people, which is disgusting.
And did you actually see the horses kick at anyone?
Yeah, I saw a group of about four or five radicals get kicked at by a horse, and one kid almost got clipped in the face.
You think they avoided injury, or?
I'm pretty sure they were able to run, get out on time.
There's a station wagon going through with a siren, strangely enough. I'm not sure what that's all about. Don't fall down, whatever you do. These people are standing on the BART edge here. Quite a fall down into the escalator area. Some officers with batons are arriving. I think they are not happy to see a squad car window smashed out. In fact, the officer whose squad car it is looks particularly unhappy. Although he's locked the car, he's unlocking his vehicle and getting in. Also, the newspaper racks here have been turned over. Mercury News, Computer User, everything but the Learning Annex, and a few minor newspaper racks. Well, I guess it looks like it's really pretty kind of arbitrary, not particularly politically motivated. Sheriff's vehicle is the first to leave, heading down Market Street, and there's a woman following on her bicycle. And looks like some officers are getting into their vehicles, preparing to take off. The officers are moving the vehicles back into the newspaper racks back into the street. One officer is actually, he's taken some paper to make sure he doesn't get injured by the broken glass in his vehicle from the broken driver's side window, which smashed. Now there seems to be movement of the crowd of protesters again. It's not clear. Maybe moving up Market Street again? Not clear.
Hyde, where all this activity is happening.
8th and Market.
And Hyde.
And Hyde, yes. Police are on the move again, and we're talking action on 8th Street. Apparently, there's some movement down 8th Street toward Mission. I'm not sure if the protesters are moving.
And we have a call in the middle of this. You're listening to a tape from Sunday, February 16th, the march, the alternate march after the massive, very peaceful, huge rally. There was a more militant march, which the police then blocked and began to attack. There was some property damage by some of the marchers, but we got one of the people who was present there. Hi, Ray, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I was there.
We actually heard you speaking earlier. You talked about in the tape being hit.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There was a bunch of protesters who were detained. They were detained by the police, you know, cordoned off in all four directions. And they were in front of them. You know, you had the riot police on horseback, and you know, our whole mission was to push the lines closer together so that those people could escape. And we did that. And as you saw, we actually ran the police thugs on horseback out of town. Though in the process, I did get smacked in the kidney by the cop with the ninja stick for no more than holding up a peace sign and a camera and saying, go home.
So was this a police officer on a...
On horseback, yeah.
On horseback. And were you with the protest that was blocked off or with the larger crowd that was trying to get to the protesters that were blocked off on Market Street?
The larger crowd that was trying to get to the ones that had been blocked off and detained, yeah.
And how long did you stay after being hit?
Well, I stayed for actually a few more hours after that, you know, and we blocked traffic, and, you know, a few more people got arrested, you know, some horse shit was thrown at cops, you know, stuff like that. You know, but all in all, it was a peaceful protest, and basically all we were trying to do was to shut down those streets to draw, you know, to draw attention to the cause. And the cause, you know, it's not anti-war, it's anarchy.
And can you be more specific? What do you mean by anarchy?
I would say enlightened anarchy. You know, there are a lot of us people out there that feel similar, and we are tired of the status quo. The Constitution isn't good enough, and we are calling for outright revolution.
And so what are you looking to see replace the current system, or do you have any particular sense of that?
The current system needs to go bye-bye. The current system can be replaced by individuals dealing with one another on a specific one-to-one basis.
So you feel, for example, that... food can be delivered to large populations in major cities. Power can be conveyed through electricity in other ways, just simply through voluntary arrangements between individuals?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, and I would say that you need to look to the Native American peoples. We've done this for thousands and thousands of years before the white man came and fucked everything up.
What would you say to people who would criticize the rally? If, because I think some people may have been concerned about anarchy, others were concerned about making a statement about the war, that you were opportunistically latching on to an anti-war rally and using it as an opportunity to press a different agenda.
You know, I will say you are absolutely right, and we will use whatever rally that you have, and we will show up, and we will bring our movement to your rally. Because basically, when the war is done, and we've seen this, what happened after Vietnam? You know, the war was done, people came home, and they were continued to be oppressed. You know, until people wake up and take responsibility for themselves, they will continue to be repressed and under the yoke of, you know, capitalism.
Now, what happened to the folks who were arrested? I left that scene probably around 8 o'clock, and then the police, of course, had arrested about 30 or 40 people. I guess they released most of them OR later, but did you witness those arrests? I guess the people who were kind of seated in the intersection.
Absolutely, and you know, and it goes the same as it was in Seattle from what I've read. You know, the police are going to come in, and you know, basically, you know, we've seen these tactics before. They're Napoleon, as far as if you really want to take a look at it historically. But they're going to come in. They're not going to be fooled. You know, they're not going to be fooled more than twice. So you know, as anarchists and as you know, other you know, closely or unclosely associated folks, we're going to come in there. We're going to do what we need to do. And we're going to split, you know. After everybody else wants to sit around and get arrested, well, that's fine. We're going to go up the street and bash some windows over at Starbucks or the Gap or, you know, wherever else. You know, targets of opportunity.
So the people who were arrested, were they folks who wanted to be arrested, or were they folks that the police essentially just sort of drew aside and arrested?
Well, you know, there was a little bit of both going on. There were people that were being targeted, but there were also other people who were, you know, and you have to give them credit. They were sitting down in front of buses. They were sitting down in front of trains. They were locking arms. At one point in this demonstration, I was locking arms with, a young college girl on my left and a Jesuit priest on my right in his robes. And they ran through us with motorcycles.
And would you call your people on the right and the left both anarchists or just allies? Or?
You know, I'm not going to call anybody anything. I mean, I really don't know them, but I do know that, you know, all in all, they realize that there's a lot of bad shit going down, and if we don't tear this thing down and rebuild it over, all we're going to have is a Band-Aid over a festering infection that is going to continue to be a blight on society.
Were you at the previous rally in January?
No.
Because I was wondering if you wanted to compare one with the other. Because I was at both more as a reporter than a participant, although I had my little teddy bear in my bathrobe in both cases. Still.
Yeah, I did see pictures of you at the first one.
Yeah, I was kind of standing up on top of a newspaper rack counting people as they went by, and I counted, I don't know, 45,000 people. It was my estimate.
Well, you know, there's a whole
there
lot
more
of people that
kept
show up
on
for
coming.
These rallies.
What's
but,
that?
You know, I said there's a whole lot of people that show up for these rallies, but a lot of these people, man, they just want to go out and have a picnic and see and be seen, take some pictures, meet some hot-looking babes, whatever. I go, you know, there's a whole lot more going on here in our society, and we need to realize the ripple effect of every decision we make. Every time we fill up our car with gasoline, you know, we are empowering those people that oppress us. Not only are we doing that, but we're also, you know, dropping bombs on other, you know, in other countries around the world. I know you just had somebody on there who was saying about, you know, we need to get rid of vehicles, and I will tell you this, you know I have a vehicle. I live in my vehicle, but, you know, the bombs are starting to fall, and I'm going to have to rethink that in order to, you know, be true to my position, and which probably means that, you know, I'll have to live in some hovel somewhere. But, you know, nevertheless, we have to do what we have to do because this is not working.
Jeffrey, do you have any questions for the caller?
I'm just an old grandpa who, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was my role model and Mahatma Gandhi was his teacher, and I believe in nonviolent stuff, and I'd like to say that I think that we are going to reach a point very soon that if we want to stop this war from breaking out, I think that we're going to have to take a look at the same 11 million Americans who marched for peace throughout all 50 states this past weekend to possibly do what we did after the Vietnam War started and surround the Pentagon, shut it down, surround the White House, shut it down, surround the State Department, shut it down, surround the Justice Department, shut it down, surround the CIA, shut it down, surround the FBI, shut it down, surround the IRS, and shut it down. But I believe that those institutions can be shut down non-violently. violently.
Absolutely, and as a pacifist, I support that 100%.
Yeah,
I do not have a problem with violence against private property, especially corporate private property.
You know, I think it's important. The word violence to me is usually with reference to attacks on people. Attacks on property are really, I think, they are violent in the terms of how we are trained to believe that breaking a window can be a violent thing, certainly in a way, but it depends on what it's meant to do. If breaking a window is meant, let's say, to frighten somebody else into doing what you want them to do, if you're, for example, an enraged spouse and you're trying to intimidate your spouse and you start breaking property, that's different than if you are, for example, attacking the INS building, which is, let's say, vacant, but there's nobody inside it, but it's a symbol and actually an ongoing location where people are daily oppressed under the new Patriot Act type laws.
Well, I would say that I don't have a problem with destroying private property. I mean, as long as there's nobody getting injured and there's nobody experiencing any pain, no problem. Wait till the lights go off and then go over to Starbucks and chuck a brick.
I mean,
how about if there's an empty, brand new, $3.9 million house that was built for Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman before they split, and it's empty here in Santa Cruz, California for the last 8 months? Do you think that it would be a good idea for homeless people to just go and peacefully live inside of that empty house?
I say absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, Homes Not Jails did that numerous times, as did the Religious Witness for the Homeless in San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland at different points in the last decade and a half. And there's even public property owned by the city that could be done to. In fact, I did it. I was arrested in 1992, well, a number of other places too, but in Santa Cruz, the Heiner House, we occupied it and we saved it from demolition, and eventually it was turned over, I guess, to a single families. It was going to be destroyed. It was going to and moved away so the police department could have a new parking lot.
But, yeah, as I understand it, wasn't there some house that was affiliated with the university that burned down towards the boardwalk not too long ago?
I don't know. I know there was a collective that burned down up near the beach area. What was it? Wasn't the Sami collective, it was the other collective. They're two large student collective that burned down.
Well, how about all those folks? They could get the university behind them, and they could, like, take over Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman's house.
Yeah, or even set up I keep thinking of a tent city on university property or on some public property like the Rittenhouse Hole across from Cinema 9 Theater downtown. I mean, there's all kinds of property. And what you have is, in the meantime, you have people who are, like yourself, living in vehicles, who have no place to go, and you have a city council which isn't even interested in controlling rents.
I mean, what have they done for the homeless issue? You know this better than anybody, Robert. Since I've been talking to you, it's not been that long, what, a few months, and what have they done for the homeless issue? It's damn cold at night. They've done nothing.
Oh, absolutely nothing. And that's why, for example, when Jeffrey reads this article by Sarah Phelan in the Metro Santa Cruz, I am not impressed whatsoever. There is no criticism of local authorities that have access. You don't need federal and state money to take action locally. You simply don't. I mean, it's nice to have it. It's good to do it. But to use it as an excuse to do nothing is bullshit, particularly when you're instead enforcing laws that criminalize poor people and you're funding the police to harass and terrify or terrorize them. Ray, you had an encounter with the police we talked about here in Santa Cruz. You talked about being beaten up in San Francisco in a rally, and people will say, oh, well, he's talking about violence, and he's one of those protesters. In fact, however, in San Francisco, you were not being violent when you were beaten. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I was not violent up to the point that I was beaten, and even after that, I was not violent.
And
I will continue to be non-violent, but I will be in people's faces, and they will hear what I have to say. And once the bombs start dropping, then, I will be violent towards private property, corporate private property, absolutely.
Well, shades of Grant Park, 1968, I was there, and, all kinds of innocent people were beaten by the police outside of the Democratic National Convention. But, Robert, it's the old story. In Santa Monica a couple years ago, there was a big motel that was totally vacant, walking distance from City Hall.
Yeah.
And,
it was taken over in 1998.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so, right here in Santa Cruz, California, we have a nice big post office Why not keep the lobby open all night, let people sleep in there? We have a nice big city hall. We have a nice big government center that looks like jail cells. We have all kinds of beautiful libraries. Why not keep them open, let people sleep in there? Because I know that my safe deposit box is much too small to sleep in. I know that my P.O. box is absolutely too small to sleep in.
Hear, hear. I mean, actually, I've said that if people want to start a tent city, I'll be there with them.
I'll be there, too.
Yeah, well, that looks like, you know, somebody's got to set it up and the rest of us will join us. I mean, Camp Paradise happened for just that reason 2 years ago, and it had its problems, and, you know, I wasn't too enamored of the leadership. But nonetheless, it showed a real need. Caller, thank you for calling in. Let's give a couple other callers a chance and stop.
Absolutely. I'll see you on the street.
Hey, stop the war against the poor and against the Iraqi people.
Absolutely. All oppression. Power to the people.
Hey, thank you.
Ciao.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. With me in the studio is Jeffrey Gale. We're discussing the war against the poor in Santa Cruz and the war against Iraq. And you can call in, 427-3772. What have I got here? I've actually got some older tape from the streets. I'm going to play a little of that now after a couple of comments. Let's see what we got here. Again, if you want to tune into Voices, that's actually has Sarah Phelan. She's doing the interviewing of some people on immigration. I don't know if it's appropriate to tell her that it'd be nice if she did a little actual research and criticism of local authorities around the issues of failing to deal with the criminalization of the poor and basic shelter needs, which she didn't do in this story in the Metro Santa Cruz. But she's apparently tonight doing a thing on the immigration, and there's going to be John Crisco. He wrote a book called Enemy Aliens, which is the internment of different ethnic groups during the war. Maha El Janaiti from the Islamic Network Groups will be calling in. Doug Keegan, immigration attorney, and Halal O'Meara from the Northern California Council on American-Islamic Relations. They are all on Channel 27 now. They just began 5 minutes ago. And the call-in number there, in case you want to call Voices show, I don't know if they've opened their lines yet, but it's 425-8844, 425-8844. You can also call Mayor Riley. And I would say urge her to do this second town hall meeting, but don't stop doing other things in the meantime. That's going to be, she's planning it for March 19th. She says that's the first time the Civic Auditorium is open. Her phone number is 420-5022, but more important than you know, the town hall meeting is to stop the police from harassing people in the interim. And I think, you know, to start some 24-hour actions that will give encouragement to people in other cities to stop this war. And that is something that Mayor Riley will never do, I'm quite sure. But perhaps she will call off the police if enough people suggest to her that her laws against tabling downtown are resulting in costly lawsuits, as well as making Santa Cruz look like a laughingstock, as well as prompting the level of confrontation and conflict. Her number is 420-5022. There's a city council meeting next Tuesday. I don't have the agenda, but I would bet you dimes to dollars or vice versa that there is nothing on the agenda about selective enforcement, which has been a major issue for the last 9 months downtown. It was passed by the Citizens Police Review Board before Mayor Riley conveniently aborted it, and that resolution has not reached the City Council. It may be on the agenda. I haven't seen it yet because I haven't seen the agenda, but I don't think so. Also not on the agenda, as far as I know, is a resolution declaring Santa Cruz a sanctuary for, let's say, people who choose not to serve in Iraq, like people who say to the military, I don't mind defending my country, but I'm not going to become part of an aggressive military invasion force that will prompt essentially war against Americans throughout the world. Let's say more war against Americans throughout the world. That's 420-5022 to call Mayor Riley. By the way, I invited her on this show tonight. I didn't hear back from her. I doubt she will come on this show, but she's, of course, welcome to do so. She can give her thoughts on these issues. I tried to talk to her on KSCO. She appeared there, I guess, on Monday, and she had no answers to the questions I put, which fundamentally was, how can you reconcile your claim about being concerned about using nonviolent methods in Iraq when you want to empower the police locally to use force and violence against poor people, such as Norman Friedberg, who declined to take a ticket for feeding the birds breadcrumbs at a Food Not Bombs rally in June of last year, and then was beaten when he resisted, quote, resisted arrest, and again, the reason for the arrest, a littering ticket. I myself got a jaywalking ticket coming out of the rally, and actually, I probably should play some of that. I don't know if I have that queued up. I'm going to try to do that. If I don't have it queued up today, I will queue it up for Sunday when I come back. That was a ticket which I got walking back from the Saturday rally in Santa Cruz from Mission Plaza. I was arrested for walking across Mission Street. Now, you may know that there were like 7,000 other people who also walked across Mission Street.
Were you jaywalking like Jerry Rubin?
I was walking while Norse, as they say. It's kind of like what Steve Argue does. He gets tickets for walking while Argue, all of which get dismissed at court. Now, Officer Martin drove by in his motorcycle and told me, get out of the street. And I said, I moved back. I got out of the street. When he passed, I looked both ways, and I attempted to cross the street. He was waiting up there to nab me. He nabbed me and said, I warned you, and then you walked across the street. You're going to get arrested. And I said, look, yeah, you may have warned me, but what are you arresting me for, challenging your authority? I mean, come on. I mean, this is not, you know, you have power. You have guns. You have badges. You have a cooperating organization. If you really need to stop violent behavior between people, or violent attacks on property, if that's, you know, your concern, and that's, of course, a major concern of the police, you have the power to do that. But your real power in this community lies in the respect the community has for you, that you don't use this power except when you need to. And if you simply are trying to assert people's, you know, get people to be afraid of you for your authority in unnecessary circumstances, you're doing, you know, you're doing a traditional police activity, but you're doing the wrong thing.
Robert, you should have told them that it was the Jewish Sabbath Saturday, and it's against your religion that you're not allowed, if you're a devout Orthodox Jew, you're not allowed to ride in a vehicle. Period. That's
I could
it.
Have asked him to,
you have to walk
to carry me across the street. Well, he was pointing out that there was a crosswalk up the street. Why didn't I use the crosswalk? And I pointed out to him that there were 7,000 people, you know, jaywalking. You know, it's true that at the time that he arrested me, the traffic was starting to move on the street, but I was careful not to interfere with traffic. And he did not really have a legitimate cause for giving me a ticket. And I actually have a whole conversation I had with him on tape, which perhaps I'll be playing on Sunday when we return at 9:30. Jeffrey?
In the meantime, the front page story in the Santa Cruz Sentinel today was apparently this young man is still on the loose. He's now going to be on America's Most Wanted right here in Santa Cruz County for stabbing one person. He's been arrested 20 times. He's on the loose, and I really think the police should focus on, as I said the other night, on getting away from the Pacific Avenue Garden Mall completely. Go and find this man. He's a threat to people in this county. Police officers, if they want to be heroic, they should stay away from the Pacific Avenue Garden Mall. If this city council wants to be heroic, and this mayor, they should ban all automobile traffic from the Pacific Avenue Garden Mall, just like they did on the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. How ridiculous it is, first of all, to have built this mall to begin with, and to have the police presence we have. This Santa Cruz, California, has become a police state. It wasn't like this before the Pacific Avenue Garden Mall was built. It wasn't like this before the Capitola Mall was built. And it wasn't like this before the University of California in Santa Cruz opened its doors in 1965.
Well, ironically, the Green Party effectively protested and the police surveillance. The police were surveilling our Merry Monday event, which is the thing that we were doing every 4 o'clock on Monday, along with Food Not Bombs. A number of us were trying to take back the sidewalks and encourage the community to be able to do things like sit down and peacefully ask for spare change and play a musical instrument and set up a political table without harassment by police under the new Riley Porter laws. And every Monday we had a little kind of demonstration. We had Steve Argue and Thomas Levitt and other people spoke out on these issues. We got arrested for chalking, for our trouble, for chalking with erasable chalk. And we may get a call, by the way, from activist Becky Johnson, who went to court on Friday on the chalking issue and won a minor victory, although she's going back to court on March 14th to continue her struggle to be allowed to chalk peace signs on the sidewalk downtown in erasable chalk that can be erased in about 10 seconds if with water and a little pressure of your hand. You can erase it with water in your hand. I've done it, actually, in a scientific experiment that was videotaped that we intend to introduce into court on March 14th. But the fact of the matter is surveillance has resumed. At Green Party activist Thomas Levitt was able to, through bringing the issue to the city council, stop the surveillance. We had five or six police officers standing around watching people eat food and make speeches, apparently looking for violations of the law, like sitting within 14 feet of a building or lying down on the sidewalk anywhere downtown or chalking on the sidewalk. These, you know, rather serious crimes the police need to keep a real close eye on in these days of orange alerts. And they had left, well, Officer Brandt, that's the older bald-headed officer with the English accent, or Australian accent, if you will. I'm not sure whether it's English or Australian. You can ask him. Is back surveilling and telling people to get up and move along and not sit near the buildings and so forth, even when there's no complaints about this. Again, this is sort of the quintessence of the kind of police state atmosphere. And, you know, some people say police state, oh, come on, you know, this is not Nazi Germany. This is just an attempt to make the downtown more presentable to tourists, more presentable, and stop, you know, the whistling and the catcalls against the women and the rude comments by the skateboarders and the, you know, the grubby drug dealing that goes on downtown. This is, you know, some of the concerns that some people have had. Well, as
I've camouflaging the truth. I mean, if I want to play hopscotch with Becky, you know, on the sidewalk and there on the Pacific Avenue Garden Mall, are they really going to tell me, an old grandpa, that I can't play hopscotch, Robert, with her?
Well, you can play
hopscotch. Or with one of the police officers.
You can play.
Hey, they love to play hopscotch, too. Their children and grandchildren.
Right. Well, you can play hopscotch, but don't try to draw a hopscotch with a chalk, piece of criminal chalk sold across the street under the under the label Sidewalk Chalk in Pacific Arts, ironically enough. You'll get arrested for it, perhaps, as Becky did, or not. I mean,
will they hang you from the clock tower? I mean, you know, what are they going to do?
No, they just tie you up in court for months and months and months. Although I must say that a lot of people are very brave. In fact, people chalked in front of the cinema, the Del Mar Theater, when we were out there with our table on Tuesday night when Emily Riley and the town hall meeting was happening. And there were a lot of police there, and the Del Mar Theater was doing its stupid number of running its movies, and as you pointed out, Jeffrey, putting on its marquee, not, you know, Iraqi war emergency meeting, but, what was it, I don't know, whatever movies they were advertising at the moment. And the city helped to fund this huge operation to renovate the entire Del Mar, gave them all kinds of discounts, and instead of getting any kind of meaningful thing back, they got the use of this building for 3 hours for 20 days, maybe it's 34 days a year. It was protested by some of us at the time, but again, it was rammed through the city council. I hope to, by the way, if you're interested in what the upcoming city council agenda is, first thing you can do is you can go to the library and look it up, which is a pain in the ass, but you need to really do that. But if you don't want to do that, you can go online. That also is a possibility. You can, by going to the city website, you can get to the city council agenda pretty quickly. Or you can listen to my show, and if I get around to it, if I can get Thomas Levitt, who's often very good on this, to look at it, he can give you some of his analysis.
And Robert, please share with the listeners what you said about the speakers at the peace rally in Santa Cruz last Saturday, that there were time constraints, and what did they do to Mayor Emily when it came to the two-minute drill versus the three-minute drill?
Oh, well, you're talking about the thing on Tuesday at the Del Mar?
No. At the Saturday when we had the peace rally.
You know,
Tina Apthecker spoke and Professor Zun, and then someone, I thought you were the one that told me, no, it was a friend of mine told me that when the mayor went to speak, that apparently Tina Apthecker's speech was fairly short and Professor Zun's, and then when God bless the mayor, when she got up, she ended up speaking, shall we say, noticeably longer than 2 or 3 minutes, and someone put a big sign in her face saying, your time is up.
Right, and of course, I wasn't there for that, but I also heard that Farr was refused an opportunity to speak, that the peace folks had said, in fact, to Farr, you can't speak here, you know, your actions have been, in essence, too warlike, or you failed to resist the war. You failed to fight the military appropriation. You failed to oppose Plan Colombia. You failed to oppose the Yugoslavia war. You failed to oppose the uranium depleted weapons. You know, you're not doing anything. You know, you are in essence supporting this aggressive war situation. And he wasn't allowed to speak.
And
that was good.
Why at the town hall meeting, Robert, we both noticed that the mayor and the city council had invited three members of the board of supervisors to be there, and they were all no-shows.
Yeah.
I thought that was really bad.
Right.
And they'll never get my vote.
Right. Well, that's good. They don't deserve your vote. A couple of other things, because we're rolling into the last 12 minutes. If you want to call in, you better do it fast, 427-3772. If you want to get mail to City Council, email, it's city.council@ci.santa-cruz.ca.us. Not that it makes much difference, mind you. I'm going to be putting in a formal Public Records Act request for all the email to Riley and Porter on their killing of the Citizens Police Review Board. I learned through finally getting email from last summer's downtown ordinances the kind of pressures that were on Riley and Porter to pass the anti-poor legislation that they passed, the downtown ordinances, the 14-foot forbidden zones, the no hacky sacking, no bubble blowing stuff, the no unattended backpack, all this shit that they passed to, you know, pamper the merchants, to fluff the merchants so they could get some sort of alliance going to defeat Proposition P, I guess it was, that would allow them to keep some of their funding in the city. What else we got here? They've done nothing about exemption zones. Not that it makes much difference. You may remember that Emily Riley was assuring everybody that, well, there's some problems with these laws that criminalize everybody sitting at political tables and criminalize people sitting down and criminalize this and give the police these huge powers to ticket whoever they want with $162 tickets. That's the first ticket. The second ticket is up to a $1,000 fine and a year in jail. And I've heard, in fact, people getting that kind of charge for panhandling, for example, second instance of panhandling downtown. That's the second instance within, I believe it's within 6 months. It might be within 48 hours, but I think it's within 6 months. Not positive about that.
But Robert, I also love, you know, the George Washington's real birthday is this Saturday, and some bakeries in town give free samples, like the House of Bread, and I'm hoping that, you know, people will go to the mayor's bakery. I hear they make a wonderful cherry pie there, and you know, maybe she'll even give you some free samples. I know that Hoffman's used to, but they don't anymore, but I want to praise the House of Bread. They do. Certain candy stores like See's give out free samples. However, there are several candy stores in this town that will not give you a free sample, and if you ask for one, they say, please stop harassing my employees.
Well, you
know,
I think we should get back to what we were doing a year and a half ago when there were people picketing Riley's Good Things to Eat Bakery, which is at Mission and Laurel Streets. That was when she snuck through these laws that set up no parking between 5 and 7 a.m. Throughout the Harvey West, or on numerous streets in the Harvey West, which has been expanded recently to the street next to Costco's, and they're planning to do a permit parking expansion of the entire West Side. We've talked about that at different points. Direct protest against Riley, boycott against these people may be the way to go. Again, I say this not because she's a bad person, a bad baker, or anything of that sort, but because of her political positions. She's the mayor, and by the way, she is the mayor under deceptive circumstances. She came on into the mayor's race as one who opposed the sleeping ban. She said that specifically to me at her first fundraiser at Thomas Levitt's house. I favor David Silva's sleeping ban initiative. Now, after that, she collapsed completely. And this basic law, which we need to get changed so we can move on to the next issue, which criminalizes poor people at night. If you sleep in Santa Cruz after 11 o'clock at night, either in a vehicle or on any public property, with very few exceptions, there are a few exceptions, and I'll outline them. You get a $154 ticket, and the main thing is you cannot sleep safely in groups. You cannot sleep in well-lighted areas. You cannot sleep where there's police protection. You cannot sleep in areas where that are near medical facilities because you have to worry about being harassed by the police. So you have to go in situations where you can get beaten up by troll busters, where you can get, you know, suffer emergencies where there's no solution, and this is in the middle of a shelter crisis, where tonight there's less than 160 floor spaces. That's space for 160 people out of the 1,000 to 2,000 people not mentioned in Sarah Phelan's article about the homeless population in Santa Cruz, nor is the shelter deficiency mentioned either. So that's the problem we have. We have Emily Riley presiding over this obscenity in Santa Cruz, which goes on and on. Now, I want to point out that the people in some cities are doing something about this. I've only got 7 minutes to do it, so I'm going to go through this quickly. Sacramento has set up a tent city. The Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee has set up a tent city. The police are demanding they take it down. In fact, they've every day at sunset in the park, they come in and they either tear it down or they demand that they tear it down. But every day, the Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee and their supporters come back and set that up again. And I hope on Sunday we can actually have an interview with some of those folks. I talked to Ed of the SHOC, as they call themselves, Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee, and they're getting a lot of publicity, they say. There are no arrests but citations out at 28th and C. The cops are...
...to in this part of California is Sacramento, because a single-family detached house in the suburbs of Sacramento is only $186,000. That same house in Santa Cruz, California, is $786,000. So I see a situation whereby the police are going to crack down more than ever now against the homeless in the nation's capital, because we have a governor who doesn't give one hoot about the homeless in Sacramento, California.
Right. Well,
Mr. Gray Davis.
Yeah. Yes, we attempted to get the governor to deal with the state law that criminalizes poor people, 647J, and I think it was about 8 other people were arrested this summer for illegally lodging. That is to say, we were sleeping at night on the Capitol lawn, which is not illegal, and we were also arrested for refusing to leave the scene of a riot. Apparently, sleeping is a riotous activity these days in Sacramento. So that's what's cooking in Sacramento, and I hope to have a fuller report on this issue when I return on Sunday at 9:30, an earlier time than I've been doing before, but that's the new time I'm at, 9:30 to 1 o'clock. I actually also got an interesting update, and I guess we haven't heard from Becky Johnson, who was, as I said, won a small victory in court, which I think is worth noting. She wrote a story about it, which I was able to read. It's called Hopscotch Rebellion. I'm going to read a little bit of it in the last few minutes of the show. And this is her voice, though it may sound pretty deep for her voice. But Santa Cruz, California, February 20th. I'm accused of committing the crime of defacing the sidewalk when I used sidewalk chalk on the sidewalks of Pacific Avenue on July 21st, 2002. The ordinance in question, written in 1964, is not clear regarding the issue of chalk writing, and the city cannot prove that the ordinance has ever been used against chalk writing prior to the year 2000. In fact, when I requested 34 years of records, the police only provided me with 1 month's worth of records. The Santa Cruz Police Department claims they have destroyed all records prior to January 2001, according to a February 13th memo from the SCPD Records Department. Only 2 months before, they told me they had only 10 years of records. My activities were constitutionally protected acts of free speech, and the city had no compelling government interest which overrode my First Amendment activities, which include speech, written materials, and non-destructive temporary messages. City Attorney John Barasoni disagrees. In a brief filed February 15, 2003, the city says that the city does have a significant governmental interest, illustrating the pervasive and deleterious nature of the graffiti problem in the city's central business district. The city claims it is responsible for preserving an aesthetically pleasing and economically viable downtown. Citing the broken windows theory as a source, the city found that unless graffiti applied by any medium is immediately abated, the problem will increase exponentially in a very short time, thereby transforming a moderately damaged area into a substantially degraded area with a higher crime rate and a depressed economy. So watch out, you chalkers on the sidewalk. Watch out, you peace marchers who are chalking on the sidewalk. You are, in fact, contributing to a local disaster. Crime and economic depression is happening in your wake. I'm going to get my butt out of here because Uncle Dennis has arrived in the studio. He's got a a great show coming up. I enjoy listening to it if from a distant posture as I tune in on the radio. It's From the Cream to the Dregs. It's coming up, and I encourage you to listen in on it. I encourage you also to come to Peace Friday tomorrow. That's every Friday, Ocean and Water Street, 5 to 6. I think it's 4 to 6 now at Ocean and Water, obviously. And then on Peace Saturday is 41st and Claire's in Capitola, 12 to 2. And I think Students United for Peace also meets up on campus, 6 o'clock at the third floor of the Bay Convention Center. The it used to be the Baytree Bookstore. It's the Baytree Convention Center. I want to thank you for being with me. We're going to go out on the same song we came in on. Jeffrey, thank you for being with me, for co-hosting the show. And off times, give a call to Huff, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And thanks again.
Our problem for only one reason. Our president raises the question, who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews? Who owns the land? Is there a connection? Who owns the land? To all imperialism, who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me, who owns the land? I am just a white man, who owns the land? I live in the Americas, who owns the land? How did I get here? This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to sleep. This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to be. Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be that there's a connection? Who owns the land? To my daily eviction. Who owns the land? And the extermination. Who owns the land? Of the Native American. Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me? Who owns the land? 'Cause I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? Owns its own self. Maybe it's the Native America. The homeless are a problem for only one reason. My president raises the question, who owns the land? The homeless are a problem for only one reason. Your presence raises the question, who owns the land? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? 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 It was on one summer evening when I sallied forth, headed up to Calgary on the road up north. The leaders of the free world were meeting to decide the planet's fate.
So there were some things I wanted to mention to this group of eight. I went up to the border and was greeted with a smile until they looked my name up and showed to me my file. The guard said that freedom Canadians hold dear, but it says right on this paper that we don't want your kind around here. So I feel I should inform you in case it's something that you missed. Now it is official, and I'm on the list. If you've ever wondered what they look like, then let me take a bow, 'cause I'm an outside agitator. You're looking at one now. They said I had no record of crimes that they could find, but their data showed them that I might have some in mind. They copied all my papers, searched all around my truck, took my picture and informed me that I was out of luck. So I feel I should inform you in case it's something that you missed. Now it is official, and I'm on the list. If you've ever wondered what they look like, then let me take a bow, 'cause I'm an outside agitator. You're looking at one now. I'm no Emma Goldman.
No, ma'am.
Or Commandante Che.
I know.
But someone up in Ottawa thought I should be turned away. So it leaves me wondering, what have I done wrong? Perhaps it is a crime I committed in a song. So I feel I should inform you in case it's something that you missed. Now it is official, and I'm on the list. If you've ever wondered what they look like, then let me take a bow, 'cause I'm an outside agitator. You're looking at one now. Yeah, I'm an outside agitator. You're looking at one now. With speed.
trumpet pass you by. Lord, you know the reason why on this train till I die. Goes to God knows where. I don't know, I don't care. The train I ride goes to God knows where. I don't know, and I don't care.
Yeah. of the simple man, reality, the fantasy of youth. But living is a problem that is common to us all. We love the only common road to truth.
I know, you know I hate to go, but goodbye, love was sweet, our worlds can never meet, so I'll cry just a little cause I love you so, and I'll die just a little cause I have to go away, can't you see how I feel when I say love's unreal? So goodbye, it's been sweet, even though